I just want to, I want to say something. One of the, and we talked about this while you were away. We preached about it, mentioned the fact that one of the problems you have is when you have seen, been with someone for a long time, you see what they're doing in the context of all that, but sometimes you can't get out of that to recognize what's happening now. Do you know what I mean? Josh, all those things has been part of God working in Josh, bringing him to this part. But as he stands here, he's not preaching as the super kid. He's not preaching as a youth member. He's now come to us with the word of God working in him and what God That's has good. Put in his life now. Yeah. And the danger is like when Jesus went to his hometown, they couldn't, they had this like, we see you and hear about your miracles, but we also knew you were the Jesus growing up amongst us. And sometimes, and you know, that's a hard thing to get hold of. Remember Keith Green wrote a song and he said, prophets don't grow up from little boys. And he was singing to his family who couldn't understand that he was not a little boy anymore, but he was, you know, speaking on behalf of God. And they you know, they could only say, no, but you're this. So I want us to, let's pray right now and say, we're going to receive what Josh is bringing us as the man of God today, who has come with a prophetic direction. And when I say prophetic direction, I'm saying he's not going to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, breakthrough shall do this. And, you know, I'm saying that what he's sharing is not just the normal thoughts and general ideas of a Christian. It's something that's had the breath of God on it and it's been breathed to say, share this today, because these people need to hear it. So, Father, we pray for Josh, first of all. Lord, we thank you for the anointings and giftings and where you have brought him to. And we bless him that, Lord, he will find a freedom today to share and to minister. And I thank you, Lord, that as the people that, Lord, this word is for, we set our hearts to be open, to be hungry, Lord, to take hold of it, and to, Lord, act on it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe that. Thank you, guys. Well, you may...
The Super Kids, we haven't got our whole program running at the moment, but we do have a special holiday program. But we know some of our Super Kids want to stay in and hear Commander Josh preach as well. But if you'd like to go out, Super Kids can join our holiday program now as well.
Thank you very much, guys. I'm extremely honored to be here. I do not take it for granted. And if you had asked me maybe a year and a half ago, would I be here doing this? I would definitely have said, no, that's not me. I don't want to do that. I can't do that. But how many know that what God says about us will always trump what we think or feel about us? And I'm just grateful to God to be here. Last week when Jay spoke, he actually inspired me with a game, because like Jay, I also come from a youth ministry. It will be very simple, don't worry. And so you, it's just to get to know me. So you may not know me. And so it's a game called Two Truths and One Lie. I'm going to say three things about my life. Two of them will be true. One of them will be a lie. All you have to do is raise up your hand and get at the end when I call them out again and guess which one is the lie about my life. All right. So the first one is every time I eat food or have dinner on my plate, I like to eat all of my food separately. Outside of like stir fries or things that are meant to be together. So if I have broccoli, carrot, corn, and meat, I don't mix any of it. I'll eat the broccoli, I'll eat the carrot, I'll eat the potato, then I'll eat the meat. I like to taste individual flavors. All right. The second one, I am an extremely handsome man. And in particular, or especially, more so than Caleb Lewis. And you've seen examples of that, and you see me here now, obviously, you know. And the last one, I once wrestled a polar bear in the North Pole and won. So, go back to the first one. Do you think that's true? Put up your hand if you think that's true. Yeah, that's true. All right, the second one. Handsome man, and especially more than Caleb Lewis. Yep. It's two truths, one lie, not two lies, one truth. And put up your hand if you think that I wrestled a polar bear in the North Pole and won. Okay, well, that was in fact a lie. So, Caleb, you may have thought that this was two lies, one truth, but this was two truths, one lie. I have never wrestled a polar bear. I didn't know until today that they were in the North Pole. I was going to say Antarctica, but they are not there. So I'm glad that I researched that. But I'm excited to, yeah, that's why I was a lie. That's all true. Those two are true. But I have been a part of this church pretty much my whole life. I don't actually know exactly, like, you know, yay high, I don't know, 2, 3, 4. I'm not entirely sure. All I've known is Breakthrough, and I've come up through youth ministry. I also lead a life group, and I also have a role in Caleb's ministry, a prayer role. So you may have seen me there as well. And this message today, this was not a message that I thought I'd ever actually preach. When, like I said before, you know, I said, would I ever be preaching a year and a half ago? No. And when I was asked, when I was given the opportunity, I thought, oh, well, I can see it now, but maybe in 5 years still. You know what I mean? But like I said before, that God's timetable and the things that God is doing in our lives will, sometimes it will, and that's great when it does, but it will not always match up with what you think or how you feel your life is or should go. And so I'm grateful to God for that. And I had some great ideas. Originally, I wanted to do a message about being sensitive and listening to the Holy Spirit. That's something that I am really passionate about. It's a major component of the life group that I've led, if you've ever been a part of that. And that was what I wanted to do. But how many know that you can do something that you want, but ultimately it'll be better if we do what God wants to do? And so I was, you know, laying in my bed, and I was settled on that. And I just asked God. I said, God, what do you want to say through me? What message do you have for Breakthrough? And He gave me a line which it wasn't new to me, but as I said, it was very personal to me, and I never thought or expected that I'd be saying that. But that line is. If you could put that up, please, Jay, becoming something that you are not. What you are now, how you look now, will be very different to what you will look like, what you will become in God's will, in God's plan for your life. How many know, maybe going back even 5 years, you are different now to what you were 5 years ago. Maybe now you have stepped out in things that you thought that you would never step out in. Exhibit A right here. I never thought that I would be on this stage talking, preaching to you guys, yet here I am. And that is going to be the same thing for everyone here. God has a plan for you. And He's molding you. He's changing you. And you are becoming something that you were not previously in God. But before we get into that, you need to know that God has a plan for you. Before you can believe or see that, you know, we've got a farmer here and he's got a knight on the other side. Before you can believe that you can become a knight, you have to know that God actually has a plan for you. So that will look different for everybody. Some people might be in fivefold ministry. Some people will be preachers. Some people will be called maybe to be a businessman or woman. Maybe you'll be called to raise a family. Maybe you'll be called to another continent. Maybe it'll be crusades. Maybe it'll be a healing ministry. There's so many things that we could all be called to. And God has a very specific plan and purpose for you. He is giving you giftings and skills that are unique to you. You know, a lot of things will cross over, and we'll share a lot of things with other people. And how grateful are we that God puts those people on our path? But God has a plan for you. We're all on a journey. We're all becoming more like Jesus. As you spend more time in his presence, in his word, he is molding us, he is forming us, and we are becoming more like Jesus until he comes back. So we're all on a path, we're all on a journey. God has great things for you. If you're someone that already knows a little bit of what that is, great, lean into that, keep going into that. And if you're someone that, you know what, I've never had a word over my life, or maybe I don't know where I'm going, well, this is where, like what I was saying today, I feel like my message has already been preached today. And that's just how awesome that God is, that he's just been undergirding everything. And so I encourage you, get before God, get a friend, join a group, whatever it looks like. Have people in your life, godly friends that can speak to you and minister to you, because God has a great plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11, we all know this, but for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. How awesome is that? He has a good plan for you, and he's not leading you to ruin or disaster. And he to give you a future and a hope. And it's very important that, okay, you've got that down, and then there's another part to it. Don't put value on what man might put value on. How many know that God puts a value on something, and sometimes man might not see that or might not recognize it? They may not say that that is good, but God has a future. God has a role for you to play, and it is important, imperative that you put a value on that, not what man or what others might say. Great when man aligns with that, and a lot of the time that is the case. And it goes back to having those friends and those people in your life that will actually uplift you. But you have a plan. You are vital to God's purposes and the plans that he is doing on this earth. Vital means absolutely necessary or important, essential. God needs you. And I thought about just a real simple example. There might be a field, okay, and somebody might be called to pick 100 flowers, and in that same field, somebody might be called to pick 2 flowers. Now, man would look at that and say the 100 is greater than the 2, but you are important and vital and needed to God, and you know what? Those 2 flowers still need to be picked. It says that every time, and if you equate that to souls, it says in the Bible that every time, a soul is saved, heaven rejoices. And it doesn't matter. It's actually not important whether it's that or the 2. It's important that you do what God has called you to. And I also believe that what God has called you to, it is always greater than what you can do or feel naturally in your life. You don't have it within you, just in yourself, outside of God, to accomplish that, to do that. And even if it's the 2 flowers, that will be such a great undertaking for you. You need God to do it. And so God needs you to accomplish that. He needs you. You are his voice, his mouthpiece, his hands and feet, whatever part that is, God needs you. So what does it mean to become something you're not? In a moment, we're going to go through a story in the Bible with Gideon in Judges. And he is just such a... I see the Bible is full of people where it's like they're not enough, but God has taken them. He's put his spirit within them. He's given them, and he makes them something that they're not. And if you look at the start to the end, it is vastly different. And Gideon is a really awesome example of this. And so what does it mean for you to become something you're not? Maybe you know what God has called you to, any of the things I mentioned before. And it's like, you just start shaking. You're like, I could never be that. I could never do that. I am not that. But God has given you his spirit. He has given you plan for your life. There's purposes and skills and anointings that are on your life that with God's anointing and help, you can become that. And let's look at a basic definition of becoming is it's used in a sense of a transition or a process. It also means suitable or fitting. God's plan and purpose for your life is suitable and fitting for you, and it will empower you to prosper and to be everything that he has called you to. But let's look at a deeper definition of that. If you could put that up, please, Jay. A deeper definition is this: any change involving realization of potentialities as a movement from a lower level of potentialities to a higher level of actuality. Now, you might say, well, that sounds great, Josh, but what does that mean? And if you go to the next slide, potentialities, and this is awesome. I absolutely love this. Latent qualities or abilities that may be developed and lead to future success or usefulness. You know, God has put qualities and abilities in you that it's always there in the fact that he's given it to you, but we don't, in ourselves, we don't have them. And sometimes, and particularly in this is a process, this is a journey that we're all on, it might not be obvious. How many people might be like me, where I have grown up, and this was always my excuse, not anymore, but this was always my excuse that I thought, well, you know, I'm not obviously talented in any, grand sense, or, you know, I wouldn't say I'm good with my hands. I wouldn't even say I'm good at speaking in front of people. And for so long, I used that as my excuse to stay in my comfort zone, to stay in my safe place. But, you know, God is doing things in my life, and I tell you what, I can no longer hide, and only he can do it through me. And so I've got to step out of my comfort zone, and I've got to change my perspective. I've got to agree with what God says about me. And so I've got to believe that there are abilities, latent qualities or abilities that he is developing in me right now and throughout my life that is leading not just to success now, but in the future. And God is taking me from place to place. He's taking us all. We are all going from glory to glory because of Jesus and because of his spirit that is within us. Actuality is simply just the state of existing. So it's taking that lower level of potential and bringing those into existence. And that's what God is doing in all of us, because we are all in a process. You know, we are his vessels. We are his craftsmanship. Isaiah 64 verse 8 says, "But now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you our potter, and all of us are work of your hands." So you see, wherever you are now, wherever you come from, and where you're going, God is, you are his craftsmanship, and he is forming you. He is molding you into what you need to become. So you, and there will always be steps to take. There will always be steps of obedience. I'm stepping out. But he is the one that is forming you. He is the one that is molding you. It's actually not within you to, it's not you to worry about that. That's what, you just be faithful to what God is saying to you. You step out and do what he is telling you to do. But as you do that, he will mold you. He will form you because he has called you to it. And that's how awesome is God. So I'm no longer allowed to say, and if any of you have ever said this, we are no longer allowed to say, "I can't do that or be that," if God has called you to it. All right? Qualify that. If God has to call you to it, all right? What God sees of us, he's looking at, I said it before, he's looking at us at a different perspective. He is looking at us in light of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and he's looking at us from heaven's perspective, from elevated view. We're down here in the mess that we've created, or where we've come from, or what's been dealt to us, we might feel, but he sees us. He doesn't see, he knows about it, but he doesn't see that. And it's important for us to shift, and that's you know, not always easy, but it's important for us to shift what we feel, what we see, and actually agree with what God says about us. I see that it's a very similar concept to when God, submission, it's used when you submit when you actually don't agree. And so it's like, you got to say, actually, no, God, even though I see what I am, what I've done, the mistakes I've made, my failures and my shortcomings, I actually agree with what you say about me. I actually agree with what you have done for me. And I choose to, even when things are happening, and I'm, you know, we have bad days, yes, but even despite all that, I choose to look through the lens of how you view me, through Jesus, through the Spirit is within us. So none of us are at our full potential. The story is not over. Pastor Peter has been faithfully leading this church for many years, but his story is not over. He has not reached the pinnacle. He is not plateaued. And God is going to be is using him and will continue to use him in greater and more significant ways than even he has seen. God is, and it's easy to look at someone on the stage. And that's why I mentioned Pastor Peter. But that is the exact same for you. God is taking you to a place where you maybe in the natural could never have dreamed or fathomed that was possible. But God is going to do that through you. Your story is not over. Amen. So let's look at the life of Gideon. Gideon was a judge in the book of Judges. Now, a judge was like a chieftain or a tribal leader, a military leader. And it's real interesting when his story starts, we'll get there in a moment, but this was a time in Israel's history when they did not have a king. So David and Saul were not on the picture yet. Moses was already gone. Joshua had just died. And it's the next generation. And Israel at this point is in sort of like a down spiraling time in their history where, you know, it wasn't great all the time. And they were in this constant cycle of sin. So that's sin. And then because they sinned, they'd fall out and then they'd be oppressed. Then the people would cry out, they would repent, God would raise up a judge, he would deliver them, and then guess what? They sin again, and it was just this down spiraling system going on here. And so God raises up, and this is what Gideon was. So he was a judge. So he was like a chieftain or a tribal leader. So I'll just read a couple of scriptures that really I paint a picture of where Israel are at. Judges 6, I'll be on the screen as well. Judges 6, 1. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, so the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. Verse 3 to 4. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian and Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. So they're taking all their stuff. And lastly, verse 6, so Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. So you can see that process, just rinse and repeat. That's what's happening. All right, enter Gideon. Where you first see Gideon, he's what does it say that he's doing? He's he was hiding away, beating out wheat in a wine press to save food from the Midianites. Now where he was doing this process, he should have actually been in the place where there was wind, so there'd be a net. He'd throw up the food, and the wind would take that away, the heavier stuff. But then the good stuff, the food that they wanted, would fall down into the net, okay? So that's where he should have been doing it. But this was in a time where the Midianites, that if they were seen doing that, they would come take his food. They'd pillage everything. And so it says before that they were starving Israel. And so, but he's now in a wine press, which is like a pit. And so there's no wind there. So he's doing this thing where he's throwing it up and, you know, there's no wind to take it away. So you can just imagine that it's nasty, it's grotty. It's not where you should be doing it. It's just not good. But What choice did he have? Because if he had done it where he should have done it, it would have been come and taken from him. So that's what Gideon was doing. He was hiding away. Some accounts say call him a very cowardly man. But God sends an angel to appear before him and says, and this is New King James Version, I think. The Lord is, oh no, we'll read that actually. It says, the Lord is with you, valiant warrior, or it also says, mighty man of valor. So in a time where he was actually hiding away to get food just so he could eat, an angel appears before him and actually calls him a mighty man of valor. So if you go back to the first screen, the title screen, please, Jay, you can see he's one thing, and an angel visits him and calls him another thing. And as I'm not saying this is what it is, but as I've read through these two chapters, I see a lot that he's in a place preparing food, and there's a few other times where he does a sacrifice. And so it, to me, I just get the sense that, and in another scripture he says he's the least of his family and his family is the least of his tribe. So it's not what it is, but I'm just getting the sense that he's more like a cook, or he's he's preparing food. He seems quite good at that. And so it's like, you're someone who prepares, maybe not even a chef. You just prepare the food and then the chef cooks it. Let's say that. You're someone who prepares food, and now an angel has appeared before you and said, you know what, you're actually a mighty warrior. You're a man of valor. You are courageous. I don't think he would have felt courageous, you know what I mean? And so he's hiding away doing this. He sends the angel. He says that. And further down he says, I'm going to use you to save Israel. I am going to use you to save Israel. And he says, go because I will be with you. And he even says this statement to him, you will defeat Midian as if they were one man. It says multiple times that Midian and their allies were vast in number, like sand on a seashore. That's like the enemies were numerous. There was far more of them than there were Israelites. But he says to him, you will defeat them as if they are one man. And he comforts them. And a little bit further down, he says, you shall not die. God has your back. But if he calls you out, he even said to him, don't worry, you won't die. And so all this time, he keeps reassuring Gideon, I am with you, you will not die. You will defeat them as one man. And straight away, in the next part of the story, Gideon tore down the false idols. Basically, he cleaned house. In that process of Israel down spiraling, they would when they would sin, that's because they would erect an idol of Baal and they would start worshipping another god. And so this idol was still here, and he's instructed to tear it down, burn it, use it as a sacrifice now for God. And so he does that, and even does it in the night. He got 10 of his servants, and he did it in the night because he was afraid even of the people in his own household. So you can see it sort of developed that even as the angel has said these things, he's not, oh, okay, all right, now we go and do this. He's shaking in his boots. He's like, well, I'm even afraid of the people in my own house, so we're going to do this at night, what God has instructed me to do. And so he tore down the idol. He got rid of it, and he erected a sacrifice for God. And soon after this, obviously the next morning, people would have seen it, and then they see what's happening, and obviously they find out it was Gideon. And then they want to kill him. And thankfully, his father bails him out and says that if Baal is a god, well, then let Baal kill him, all right? And at this point, though, word has spread, and the bad guys, they've started to, they're going to come against him now. So things are actually starting to move. It's like, I see it like, it's getting real now. they've now heard about this. The enemies are forming. They in a camp, and they're going to gather and attack. They've now heard about Gideon. And Gideon also calls all of his friends, all of his allies, to gather. Because like, well, all right, you've said it, God. That we'll defeat the Midianites as if they were one man. You've said it. I'll do it. I'll go. And you'd think by this point, you know, all these strange and wonderful things have happened. God is surely with me. And you'd think that he's okay. He's good now. Actually, still, and you would have heard of Gideon's fleece, where he put I'm actually not sure if it's just like a sheepskin, you know, but something like that. And he put that on the ground, and he said, "God, if you are truly with me, if this is truly you, in the night when I come back and wake up, can that please be wet and the ground around it dry?" Sure enough, he wakes up, and that's exactly what has happened. And you'd think, all right, the angel has come, I've given the sacrifice, he's now done this sign, and then he goes, oh, and can we do it one more time just to make sure, like, that it's definitely you, God? And then basically he asks for the opposite version of that. The opposite version. And then, you know, the next night he wakes up and God has done that. So how many have ever done that when they've had a sign or a word from God? And then the very next day, you've actually, I'm not sure. I don't think God's with me, all right? Don't put your hand up, because you'd all be liars. And so now the armies have formed, and the allies are together. But God says there's actually too many that we've got here. Otherwise, Israel will be boastful. My own power has saved me. So God actually says to Gideon, whoever is afraid and worried, send them home. And so guess what? They had about, 32,000, I think, the good guys. And 22,000 returned home. And so then you've got 10,000 left. And even if they had all of their numbers, they were still vastly outnumbered. Okay, so, but that's what God said. And then he said, furthermore, he said, he had another test, a water drinking test. It was a weird test, but if that's what God wanted to do, that's what God did. And let's read that, Judges 7, verse 5 to 7. When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cut water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. And so after this, only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. The Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send the others home. If you could just put yourself in that situation, things are already getting pretty real. I know you've said it, and think about your life. I know you've said all these things, God. And, you know, for whatever God said, I'll do it with the 300, so that you can't boast that you did it in your own strength. Only God is going to do it in you and through you, okay? And so they were all sent home. And the Midian camp, they had camped at this point, and they were in the valley below Gideon. And God actually instructs Gideon he actually even says to him, go, because I've given you victory. But he also says, and he leads him to the camp, right? He leads him there, and he says, because he wants to actually show Gideon something, and he says, and if you are still afraid, bring your servant. So sure enough, Gideon brings his servant, because I'm not seeing a lot of confidence here. I'm seeing him step out. So he's doing great. He's doing great. But I feel like that he's stepping out and he's still shaking, you know, maybe in a crazy way. So he takes his servant because he's still afraid. And so it says just in Judges chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his companion about a dream. So this is in the Midianite camp. The man said, I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down. So bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. His companion answered, "Your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite, victory over Midian and all of its allies." Now that seems like a very interesting interpretation, but if you see in a dream bread tumbling, it hits a tent, it turns the tent over. Ah, that's what it means. No, I wouldn't have a clue. But that's how it did. That's how God did it. And so he has given Gideon victory. And it was at this point he bowed before God, he praised him, and then he went back to his camp and riled everyone up. "Let's go. God has given us victory." And so the end of that story, after he has this dream, Gideon now goes, and this happened at night, at the changing of the guard. He divides the men into three groups of 100, surrounds the enemy camps. And Gideon says, "Now you follow me and do as I do." And so as Gideon does this, the other two camps did this as well. And so they had jars with torches in them, and they had ram's horn. They broke the jars and lit the torches, and they sounded the ram's horn. And then after that, basically God moved and worked and spooked all of the enemies. They woke up and they started attacking each other. The Midianites and their allies. They started attacking each other, and those that did not die by the sword there, they ran away. And it was at that point that Gideon also called in, all the other people now, and all the allies, chase them down, defeat them, win. And so you can just see that particular story in Gideon, the very start, and to what the end of the story is, vastly different. But I actually do appreciate how even through all of that, it was always, "Oh my God, you've said it, so I'll step out." And, there'll always be your shortcomings and your failures, things that will want to actually pull you in and stop you from stepping out. It's like, "I can't be that. I could never be that." And so I do appreciate that even when he was still feeling like that, he still stepped out. He still obeyed God. And that's massive. You got to obey God. So what could we get three lessons from that story? Three lessons from Gideon. Number one, believe what God says about you. God called Gideon a mighty man of valor. And what has God called you? Maybe someone has given you a prophetic word. Maybe he said you'll have this particular ministry, and it's like, I can't even speak to two people without stuttering. You know what I mean? Moses actually had like a speech impediment, but God called him to do great things. But also in that, Moses said, "No, I can't do that," and so he gave him Aaron to also help him and to speak for him. In that instance, let's not be like Moses. If God has called you to be something, to do something, let's not say, "No, I can't do that. I can't be that." If God has called you to it, God will do it in you, okay? Believe what God says about you. Number two, believe that God is with you. These two go hand in hand. It is not in your own strength or skill. His ways are higher. Believe that what God has birthed in you, what God is forming you, doing in you, is far greater than what you could ever be or do yourself. And it's all about stepping out. And that leads into the third one. Number three, and this, I feel like this is a bit of a, almost like a taboo sort of word, you know. It's all good until somebody says this. And I'll tell you what, and why do I think that? Because I've felt that when someone has said that to me. And now I'm here stepping out so I can say it to you. Step out of your comfort zone. The things that He has called you to are far greater than you could ever imagine. Okay? What God is going to do in you, you will be amazed if you look back at your life of where you've come from, what you feel has been handed to you. If you follow God, He will do this. He will bring it to pass in your life. I used to be someone, going back to, I didn't feel I was specifically skilled or talented. I used to be someone who I thought, you know what? I'm just someone who supports other people and other ministries. And I was actually glad and okay with that, but I could also see myself doing that. And it all changed until two really close friends actually gave prophetic words over my life. And then all of a sudden, it, like, God just flipped everything on its head. And so I will always support, but I'm no longer just a support. And so, you know, watch where God takes me. Watch what God does in my life. And He wants to do the same for you. All right. And so we're all on a process here. We're all on a path becoming something we're not, you know. And I just want to finish with this scripture, Jeremiah 18. And I just want to read verse 1 to 5. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will announce my words to you." Now, before I continue, if you want to get a word from God, you have to be where His words are going to come. You know what I mean? You have to be in the house of the Lord. You have to be stepping out and going in the plans and the purposes that He has for you. If you're not going to do that, you know, God is gracious and He does things for us, but you have to be there to hear His words, okay? There I will announce my words to you. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hands of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make. Church, let God remake you as it pleases Him to make. Do not look at what you've come from. Let God form you and mold you as it pleases Him, because it's on Him and He can do it to do all those things in your life. Don't be too rigid that God can't remake you. How many of we can sometimes be rigid? I'm actually going to stay here because I'm comfortable. Be flowing so that God can form you and mold you. Let Him change you so that you can become something you're not. Don't be so comfortable that you can never step out. You know, it's hard. It's not easy. But here I am, and this is what you'll have to do. I'm not saying everyone will be up on stage, but in all of our lives, whatever we're doing, it will require us to step out and letting God work in our lives. And just write this down if you're taking notes. If He has called you to it, He will mold you to it. That's all it is, okay? So whatever God has called you to, let Him mold you to it. And step out, be obedient, be faithful, and He won't let you down. He's got your back. Your future is bright with God. And so, yeah, I would love to now give this opportunity to, if that gels with you, if it's a, yeah, like I've been given words, or, you know, and I'd it's not easy. It's hard, but you got to step out. And if that gels with you, I would love to actually pray for you, pray with you while we're singing a song. And I would just, it would just be my joy and honor to pray with you and to see you step out in your callings, in your giftings, the things that God is doing in your life. And so I would absolutely love to do that as we sing a song.